The Coast Guard says it plans to install a biomass-to-energy plant on Japonski Island. The plant would burn wood pellets, and the heat would be used for Air Station Sitka. The Coast Guard is also about to study the possibility of sharing that energy with others on the island, including Search and the state-run Mount Edgecombe High School. Wood pellets are considered a cleaner form of energy, but there are no federal laws or mandates requiring cleaner energy from the Coast Guard. In fact, the easiest thing to do logistically would be to maintain the status quo, to keep filling existing tanks full of heating oil. So why make the effort to switch to wood heat?
Cost. Money.
Bob Deering is chief of the Environmental and Energy Branch for the Coast Guard's Engineering Unit in Juneau.
We can probably heat our facilities substantially cheaper with wood fuels right now today than we can with heating oil.
And Deering says the difference in price is probably going to get bigger and bigger.
A year and a half ago when we had heating oil, or oil selling at $147 a barrel, the volatility of the price spikes really impacted our budget. And so biomass would give us some more stability in our budgeting than oil does.
The Coast Guard's project is in the study phase right now, but the question in the room at the Tongass Futures Roundtable meeting on Thursday was this. Could a more widespread wood energy industry be set up in Southeast Alaska using wood from the Tongass? David Saw, an assistant professor of research at the University of San Francisco, says that depends.
It's going to take a lot of local experts and some more domain experts to come together, like in roundtables like this, and they're doing everything right, to develop some ideas and some test projects. I mean, I don't think things can go much faster than they are going right now. I think they're on the right track.
Saw presented his research to the roundtable on Thursday. It focuses on Prince of Wales Island and shows net savings in carbon emissions by converting to biomass fuels. Saw says it's time for players in the process to shift from thinking strategically to thinking tactically.
Who needs it? How much do they need? Where are you going to get it from? What's the transportation network going to look like? How sustainable is it? How many years can we actually do this? What commitment are we going to have from the Forest Service to allow us to do these types of treatments?
And, Saw says, what kind of commitment will come from different activist communities? If you're talking to Greenpeace, maybe not a big commitment. Larry Edwards is a campaigner for the group in Sitka. He spoke to the roundtable and said biomass is not the answer to a cleaner environment.
There's no way that burning biomass is carbon neutral. And that's been an assumption for a long time, but the science is beginning to show that that isn't the case.
Instead, Edwards would like to see more effort put into non-combustion forms of energy. In Sitka, that could be in the form of taking houses using electric heat and retrofitting them with heat pumps.
That frees up power capacity. And I think that at this unique point in time where there's a transition coming on the Tongass and USDA, both in the Forest Service and Rural Development, being interested in facilitating things to happen, that funding could be available to help that.
The panel also included Larry Mason of the University of Washington. He says it's a myth that a fossil-free future is around the corner, but he also says it's a myth that whole swaths of the Tongass would be cut down for fuel. The fuel, Mason says, will come from the byproducts of materials already harvested. He says marketable products are far more valuable, and the money from that will be needed to underwrite the fuel industry. This is Ed Ronco reporting in Sitka.